Happy New Year. Happy holidays, Jonathan. Congratulations on home field throughout.
Yeah, it's nice to know we'll be at Gillette if we're lucky enough to win 2 weeks from now and be here until you have to go to a neutral field. So hopefully that the players this year have talked about just how comfortable they feel here and how great the fans have been. So it's a nice place to be.
You're going to sell a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo shirts today.
Are we?
Yes, you are. I'll make that prediction.
Oh, good. That's good because I think we're out of the Brady's because it was so hot before Christmas. So that's good.
Well, they want those Brady and the Klein shirts, so you may have to make sure to get those in. Oh, by the way,
don't sell those.
You win last week, and it was interesting that a win over the Jets, and Rex talked about how if you really ask them, it's the old if you put them on the truth-o-meter, I'm sure they would admit that I give them the toughest time. And I know it looks like Rex is probably coaching his last game for the Jets today. It's just very interesting that the 09 and 10 success has really carried over in the mind for a lot of Jet fans.
Yeah. I think he might have won till now. I'm assuming if it ends at the end of the season, what did he win, 25 or 30% of his games against us? So I hope that's as well as any coach does against us. That means we're pretty good. But that's Rex, and we wish him well if he's no longer the coach of the Jets, and it was fun to win that game in New York. It's always, there's a Boston-New York thing in all sports for me. When the Bruins play the Rangers, when the Celtics play the Knicks, when the Red Sox play the Yankees, when the Revs play the Red Bulls and soon-to-be New York FC, there's just something about New York-Boston, so it's nice to clinch home field in the number one seed against a New York team and coached by Rex, who I guess in his mind gives us a hard time.
Let's stay with coaching, because at 2-2, I remember even standing on this sideline before the Cincinnati game thinking, gee, I don't know what the reaction is going to be out of this group. There was real trepidation that day, and then they came out and smacked Cincinnati, and the rest is history. But the impact that the guy you employ to run this organization and Bill Belichick, and the impact that he had not only on the field, but maybe at that time, more importantly, off the field, given everything that was swirling in early October.
Look, the thing that I think gets forgotten every year, especially since this new CBA got signed, is training camp is abbreviated. The start of the season, teams in this league are still very much a work in progress. Now, that Kansas City game was not pretty.
It was a disaster.
That Kansas City game wasn't pretty. But you look around the league, you want to have those types of games in the start of the year when you're still trying to figure out what you have and what your team's strengths and weaknesses are. I think it's more of a concern if games like that happen post-Thanksgiving or from the middle of November on. And I think Bill is so experienced and so good at managing the team. He knows that the noise around a game like that will be quite loud, but he also understands how to talk to the team so the team understands it's one game and here's what we need to do to get better. And the guys believe him. His track record is there, and he proves it. And it's Bill and it's his staff. It's Josh, it's Matt, it's Brian, it's Patrick, it's everybody on this team. Scotty O'Brien and
Casario for the next 5 years.
Nick, what about that?
Oh, there was a report.
What's the report?
A report that Nick Casario has signed now to 2020.
Yeah.
Man, you must really like him. That's a pretty long deal. You're blushing.
I'm not talking about contracts.
You're blushing. Come on,
we're not talking. Nick's not. Hey. Nick doesn't get enough credit for what happens here.
Well, the moves of this year are a big part of the season.
I mean, that's the Akeem Ayers move.
He gave away nothing.
That stuff is amazing.
Look, Nick is a unique guy because he played in college, D3. He and Josh played at the same school, John Carroll. They overlapped for a couple years. He joined us at the lowest level. He is coached. He is scouted. He's done the job of the guy running the front office and looking at the salary cap and the administrative stuff. And for a guy his age, he's really has a lot of NFL experience under his belt. And he and Bill have a great trust with each other, and Nick's a huge part of what we do here.
For me, though, and we brought this up on Patriot Preview, which I know you listen to religiously, but we talked. I don't think Bill got enough credit this year for the turnaround with the team, because we expected, as Andy said, Bill's going to fix it. We expected, and sure, there were teams this year that went through a lot of peaks and valleys. San Diego went up and down. Pittsburgh went up and down. Atlanta had its stuff. They came back. But with the way the Patriots came back, it wasn't a matter of just getting wins, Jonathan. It was like all of a sudden the Patriots became dominant. Now, last week's game was close, but Pats went on a stretch where they were just blowing people out of the water. And just to go from one end of the spectrum to the other is just remarkable, and it's a testament to the staff. I mean, I don't think to me, 0-1 will always be Bill's best year as a coach. You know, because it just the way everything went down.
Well, look,
but this year, I don't think he gets enough credit.
In 0-1, the Bill Belichick, today I think players come in, and I don't want to call it a blind faith because I think all players have to make their own judgments, but I think Bill's reputation and track record gives him instant credibility with players. In 0-1, we started 1-3. Right, we started 1-3. Drew went down.
Game two,
and you think about it. He had had we were 5-11 the year before. There are a lot of coaches in this league who lose teams at that point. Just it's the way it works. And Bill did a hell of a job that year, and he did a hell of a job the year before. I mean, he was turning a program around and turning it over, and today, nobody would question it. I think he's done a great job this year. He does a great job every year. And we're lucky to have him here as the coach.
As you look moving forward, the silly season is about to begin. And I mean that, the silly season as in, yes, Mr. Kraft, yeah, we'd like to have permission to talk to Josh McDaniels or to Matt Patricia, who doesn't get enough run. I know he has worked hard at changing his look in the whole presentation. The silly season
is... He just has to shave his beard.
No, I think it's... Well, you better have a beard than a gooter. Let's put it that way. Right. Ask Rob Ryan. But you're getting to the point now to where people are going to start knocking on the door. How have you, as an organization, gotten better at dealing with all of those? I know the NFL's clarified the rules a little bit, but do you almost expect, given the success year in, year out, that your phone is going to ring first day after the regular season and someone trying to, you know, poach from your organization?
I think we've gotten used to the fact that people get requested to go on interviews here. I think also as we build our coaching staff, I think Bill definitely has in his head a succession plan at each of the positions, knowing that anybody whose contract is up could be gone, or that positional coaches whose contracts are up could be gone for coordinators, and coordinators who get head coaching opportunities here or in college could be gone. And that's you want that. I mean, you want
that's
guys
a sign
that
of success.
Yeah, and you want guys that have worked for you and achieved to have the opportunity to have upward mobility. You hear Bill talk about his early days as a coach and what that job used to be like. I think there were no long-term deals for position coaches or coordinators, and the money wasn't great.
No coach in waiting.
Right, you're moving your family around all the time, and I think he remembers what that's like, and he's happy for the guys, and we all are. And I know that Josh will be a great head coach in this league someday. I believe Matt will be a great head coach in this league someday. And I think there are other guys on our staff who will be too, and we'll celebrate that.
Harbaugh rumored to go to Michigan. You've had two coaches leave the Patriots, both offensive coordinators, to go to the college game, and Charlie Weiss and Billy O'Brien, who now is back in the NFL. Do you have any thoughts on what the transition is like to go from the NFL to the college game? Because to me, if you leave the NFL, it better be one hell of a deal at the collegiate level.
Well, look, the biggest difference is obviously going from a level playing field competitively with the players, meaning a draft system and a salary cap, to who's got the biggest, greatest facilities and the best tools to recruit with. And so a guy like Harbaugh who goes back to college, or a guy like Urban Meyer or what Saban did, they're bigger than life personalities. In the case of Harbaugh, clearly advanced by the NFL and what went on in San Francisco, he walks into your living room and you're a top recruit, and he can highlight the Michigan tradition, the Michigan facilities, which are pretty close to being second to none, and the fact that he knows what it takes to get to the next level, he knows that that's going to give him a competitive advantage. If the dollars are as great as they say they are, I would argue, while there's a high level of competition, it's an easier job. He doesn't have to answer to media, critical media. He doesn't have a GM who he may or may not be at odds with. He has an AD who's brought him in. And now he's just going to execute the way he wants to execute and have a competitive advantage and get paid a lot more than a lot of NFL head coaches get paid. So it's not the same level of competition, but it's still pretty good competition. And
it's good money.
It's a good job.
Dough.
And right. You're not going to be looked at with a critical eye.
Okay, we have a hero with us, a Pete Freites, who's standing right next to us. And just your thoughts on having him today as you honor him. Raising over $100 million for ALS research.
A couple hundred, I think. Today's Pete's 30th birthday, and he's
a
hero.
Did you do the Ice Bucket Challenge? We could do it today if you have.
Yes. Yes, I did. I also wrote a check, because I think you should do both. But, yes, I did both. And what an amazing young man he is. And today's his 30th birthday, and we'll have a little special honor at the two-minute warning of the first half to honor him and everything he's accomplished. But he's a hero, period.
Belichick's waiting for his ice bucket challenge on February 3rd.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, silence.
Yeah, no chinks.
We
got a game
today.
We're playing the Buffalo Bills today, and we do know we'll be playing in 2 weeks here.
All right, go to the corner there, Grushy. Jonathan, enjoy the game. Thank you very much. Have a good New Year.
You too. Happy New Year to everybody.
All right, President of the Patriots, Jonathan Kraft, brought to you by Daily MVP.